I'm an organisational and leadership coach, and I specifically currently work with corporate women, and I'm transitioning into working with teenage girls in high school.
Okay. Now, you've had an interesting journey. I mean, you think of a lot of consultants as being, you know, pretty high-powered people, but you started with a bit of difficulty in your life, especially at school, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah. So I was born with a bilateral cleft lip and palate. So for those that don't know what that is, it's generally a birth defect where within the first 3 months of birth, where the lip and palate cavity isn't forming appropriately.
They aren't kind of meeting in the
middle, are they? Yeah, exactly. So essentially all babies are like that, but generally fuse at 3 months of birth. Mm. Unfortunately, I was one of the lucky ones that didn't have that done. And so was born with a bit of a, I guess what you call these days, a special needs child. Mm. Yeah.
What do you remember of that? Do you remember any of the operations you went through, or it was more of an emotional memory you had?
Yeah, look, I think before I started school, it was mostly going into hospital for operations. And thank goodness when I was, I guess, less than one and less than 2 years old, I don't recall much of those procedures, which was a good thing. But it wasn't really until I started school that I noticed there was a distinction between myself and other children. And in particular, not being so welcoming by other kids because of how I looked.
Yeah, how did that come out for you? Was it a sort of a subtle exclusion, or were people literally, you know, calling your names and bullying you?
Yeah, look, it's funny what you remember looking back, but I do remember the first day of school. I do remember being excited with my new uniform and so forth going to school. Mm. But then I found when I sat in class, all the stares and glares I had from the children. So each time I looked at them, they would be, you know, making faces or that sort of thing. Then it moved on to physical name calling. So things like fat lip used to be called a lot instead of my name. Things like that, and also physical kicking in the playground. So there were points in my life where I was basically being physically kicked in my shins on a daily basis to the point of bleeding.
God.
Yeah, and I still have some bruising on my shins today that haven't gone away. So
from schoolyard
times.
Yeah,
from primary school. Yeah. Yeah.
You can feel the indentations of little kids' boots.
Yeah, and all I wanted to do was play with kids in the playground. Oh. So I think they turned it into a game. So it was like whoever they could, you know, kick me. And one of the biggest defining moments I had was in year one. So I was about 6 years old. I plucked up the courage to go to my teacher and tell her that I was being kicked in the playground. And instead of getting the support and the empathy I was looking for, she basically scolded me and pointed at the door yelling, "Don't go away, don't tell tattletales." So from that moment on, I felt like I was less than everyone else, that I wasn't good enough, that my truths were considered lies, and that those in authority turned a blind eye. So I basically went quiet after that. And being an extroverted child growing up, I actually sort of changed my personality. So I became more quiet. I didn't want to become visible in school. So I kept on the low down. So I think I found it challenging in terms of, you know, learning at school, because I didn't realise that I was under a lot of anxiety and stress throughout the course of my day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so from there, if we look at today, you're working with kids, you're standing in front of boardrooms full of executives, you know, you're talking to me on the radio. What happened in between that time?
Well, I guess, yeah, for me, my motivation was my parents had some concerns, obviously being born disadvantaged physically. They had concerns about how I would fit in the world, whether I would have a secure position, like job, career, be financially secure, find love. And so they channeled all their fears into me, and which motivated me and created an ambition that I would work 10 times as hard as everyone else to get to where I needed to be in life, which ultimately I did really well. So I ended up I started off in the bottom of my class at school, in high school, and by year 10 I was in academic maths, English and science. And then I proceeded for the HSC and I ended up scoring top 10% of the state for biology and went off to Wollongong University and studied biomedical science. So graduated with honours there and moved on to masters and graduated with a master's there and moved into medical research. So for the past 20 years I worked my way in medical research, moved into the pharmaceutical industry and became a leader in the industry. So I moved into senior project manager and senior operations manager.
And you've parlayed that into a business consultancy these days.
Because I had this fascination with leadership. And one of the things I found that was missing in my skill set as I was growing up was a lack of leadership skills. And what I would have loved to have had at the age of 16 that I didn't obtain until I moved into a leadership role and at 40 going, well, if I had these skills at a younger age, how would I have developed faster, more successfully, much more easily than what I have done today?
Do you think you can teach leaders or are they a leader as soon as they're born?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. Look, I never ever considered myself a leader. I've always seen myself as a follower. And it wasn't until I was in corporate that I was just helping some colleagues out at work. And they turned to me saying, you know, you'd be a great manager, you know. And I sat there and went, oh, gee, thanks. But I never saw myself as a manager. I only just saw myself, I'm just doing my job. But that's when it started sparking within me and going, well, people are seeing there's some form of leadership qualities within me that I couldn't see myself. So that's when I started looking externally and going, okay, well, what are leadership qualities? What makes a great leader? And so, and then for the past 15 years, I worked my way into leadership positions by, you know, studying, throwing myself in and getting involved. So in answer to your question, I don't think leaders necessarily need to be born, but you can definitely develop them.
Now, you've just been given an award in India. This is the Exceptional Women of Excellence Global Award. Good Lord, tell me about that.
Look, it was the Women International Conference was created by actually an Indian doctor. And what she found in India was obviously there's obviously the haves and the have-nots over there, and there's a lot of gender inequality in India. So she wanted to create a platform for women, not just within India, but across the globe, where we can come and platform our ideas and our innovations and so forth. So there was about 2,000 women present at the conference.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so it was my first experience on the international stage, so I was well welcomed, and it was a real honor to get up there and present and talk about my backstory and how I overcame adversity and developed confidence and certainty in my life through leadership, and that's what I'm hoping to achieve through my program.
Now, tell me about your program that you've put in place for particularly girls in year 10.
Yes.
It sounds like, just before we get into how that works, that was almost the really turning point in your own life. You went from almost underachieving in high school to being in advanced nearly everything. Yeah. So what happened in year 10 for you? You were at St. Mary's?
Yes, I was at St. Mary's. I guess for me, the program manifested through my corporate experience. So about 3 years ago, I came across, I was subjected to bullying in the workplace, but this time not about my looks. It was about my performance, my work performance and my achievements at work. And I was a senior leader, so a senior manager, and there was another senior manager on the same level. And she felt intimidated by my presence and by my innovation. And covert bullying lasted for about 7 months before it turned into two verbal assaults. And they were unprovoked verbal assaults. And what manifested from that was being a leader, I realized, well, that's inappropriate. So I escalated to our boss and HR. And long story short, they attributed our conflict down to management styles, differing of management styles, and swept everything under the carpet. But I guess as a result of that, then they started victimizing me and making me out to be that it was my fault. Mm. And it triggered me back to when I was 6 years old, confronting my teacher and telling her I was being bullied in the playground. Mm. And that's when I came to...
Don't tell tales. Those kids just have a different style to you.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So then I had this insight and went, you know what? I'm not that six-year-old little helpless child anymore. I'm an adult. I have leadership skills. I have the resources within me. I have the title because I've been, you know, told that I am a leader. Then I need to act like one. So I ended up resigning and started my No Limits Consulting. So I was like, okay, if I can't influence culture from the inside out, I'm going to influence it from the outside in.
And how scary was that leap to go and be a consultant?
Yes, very scary, because I never intended to ever start a business. Never thought I had it in me. And it's been one wild ride after another, but it's been great.
How do you sell yourself to a business? As a young looking woman,
I'm not that.
You
young.
Know, you're supposed to be an old, crusty, grey bloke in a pinstripe suit to be a consultant, and you're completely ruining my expectations, Paula.
Well, bless you, first of all, Nick. I'm not that young, but I guess you know you're as young as how you feel. So, thank you. I guess authenticity is the key. There is a lot of people out there that promise you certain things and don't deliver. So for me, I'm very transparent. I'm very open. I'm honest. I'm authentic. I talk about, I tell it like it is. I understand from a client's perspective what the challenges are and whether I can provide additional support or not. Mm. So it's just a matter of,
Well, the awards must help the CV. Hey, look, 2,000 women at this one and I got this one.
No, it's a real honour. And I was also finalist at the New South Wales Business Chamber Award last year as well for Startup Superstar Award.
Wow.
So that was pretty good too.
Real honour. And if you do this kind of work with year 10 kids, talking about, hey, you could be a potential leader, what do you try and leave them with?
I'd like to leave them with the confidence, clarity and certainty that they're going to not only just thrive up until year 12 but beyond in real life. That's the bottom line for me, because for me, I want to minimize bullying. And from what I've seen in social media, cyberbullying, it's just out of control. And I'm not surprised. You know, the teachers...
Well, when it can be anonymous, it almost supercharges bullying, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah,
it does.
You don't have to look someone in the face or kick them in the shins.
Exactly. There aren't consequences to those people's actions. So the idea of this leadership program is to equip our future leaders with the right tools and skill sets to combat these bullies and naysayers and tall poppies. Because if the children are finding it difficult to survive or thrive for the HSC, when they go, it's just going to get worse for them, stress-wise. And having worked in corporate with the globalization and artificial intelligence and everything and the gig economy, you have to be very agile in your approach and very flexible in your approach. And it's human nature that we want security and certainty. So we're going to be pushing against that the whole time, and that's where the bad behaviors come about. I mean, you can have good people. I'm not saying that the manager that bullied me was a bad person, but the environment facilitated bad behavior. So you've got good people that can also do bad things, but you can also have bad people that do good things. So, so that's what I'm all about.
That's life as a human being, isn't it?
Yeah, and we all have to be accountable for our actions. And looking with all the corruption in leadership these days across all sectors, why not equip our future leaders with the right values and skill sets, that they can carry on without being easily influenced by corruption?
Mm. Yeah. I can see you in politics one day, Paula. You tempted?
So long as I don't have to lie, that would be great.
Oh, please, please. That would be great.
If I can be me and make a difference, I will go anywhere that I'm needed.
All right. Great to have you in. Thanks very much.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thanks, Nick.